Welcome to the Lifehouse Church Podcast. Lifehouse is a church that exists to invite all people to live an uncommon life by following Jesus, doing life together, getting in the game, and leaving a legacy. We hope that today's message helps you grow as a follower of Jesus, gives you perspective to see yourself and others differently, and inspires you to make a difference in the world around you. Now, let's get to this week's message.
All right. Thank you, Pastor John. And if you could just honor your pastor. You have some wonderful pastors, Pastor John and Kristen. Yes. Special appreciation. Again, Pastor John and Kristen are just so dear friends of ours. I'm not going to tell too much about his BC days so that I tell my age. Let's put it this way. I was an intern in a youth group when he was a youth. So we'll put it that way. But it's just an honor to be here with you all this morning. And so we'll jump right into the Word. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to go with you. I want you to go with me to the book of Genesis. That's right in the beginning. So just as soon as you open your Bible, there's Genesis. So go there to Genesis, and we'll start with chapter 15. But before we go, you guys have been in this series called A Better Story. And stories are so important. I mean, we are wired for stories. I mean, that's why movies and books and things are so popular, because we are wired for stories. Even when we think, bless you. And so even when we read the Bible is the story of God. It's the story of how he relates to us. And if you want to zoom in even more, it's a story of how he relates to his people, the children of Israel. And then we fast forward, and it's the story of Jesus and how his heart for us. And so stories are so much a part of us. I mean, that's why, you know, for some of you that love movies, I'm a movie person. I love movies. But we connect with people and stories. I mean, you know, for Creed, Adonis Creed, all of us kind of have that moment. If you've ever seen the movie Creed, Adonis Creed, the main character, we've all kind of connect because we had to live up to the expectations of somebody. Or for some of us, Rocky. I love Rocky, where we all felt like we're an underdog and we're up against a giant, you know, Ivan Drago, like something that we can't beat, like a David and Goliath type story. For some of you ladies, okay, you know, you all may feel like Allie in the Notebook. You just want to find love. Yeah, yeah. Or some of you may feel like, hey, guys, you may feel like, hey, you're Albert on Hitch. You connect with Albert. You know, you need somebody to help you, you know. Or some of you might be married and you may feel like Jack in the Titanic. Just, will Rose just let me on that piece of wood? You know, will she just scoot over? But, you know, we all connect with people in stories. But what is the story we're going to talk about today? We're going to talk about, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to find out who grew up in church. Okay, I'm just going to do this, and we'll find out who grew up in church. Father Abraham and many sons, I am one of them. Ah, okay, there we go. So you may have guessed who we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about Abraham. Yeah, if you've grown up in church, and if you didn't grow up in church, it's okay. But if you grew up in church, You did not pass through church and pass through Sunday school and get that Sunday school badge without, or went to VBS or any of that without singing Father Abraham. And so who is Abraham? Just a summary. Abraham, if you didn't grow up in church, Abraham is the OG. He is the OG of our faith. Like, he is the Godfather. Like, when you read scripture and you read in the Bible and they refer to God, you always hear he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is like the foundation of our faith. I mean, what makes Abraham so just foundational is that, man, Abraham grew up in a time and he wasn't really a Christ follower. He wasn't a God follower at all. But then out of the blue, he gets called. He hears the voice of God. He gets called. And he leaves his land of where he's going because he's like, God's like, hey, I just want you to go. Go, I want you to follow me. So at around 75 years old, Abraham packs up his family and he goes to this land. He's going to the land of Canaan. And in the midst of that, God calls him and he says, Abram, because his name was Abram before it was Abraham. And we'll kind of talk about that in a second. But he says, Abram, I want you to take up your family, want you to follow me, because guess what? I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. I'm gonna make you into a great nation. And from that time on, Abram begins to follow God. That begins his God journey. And as he's following God, you know, he's faithful to God. You know, God is taking care of him. And then we get to the point where God visits him around the age of 85. So here is 10 years he's following God. He has adventures with God. But now at about 85, he gets this another visit from God, and he says, hey, Abram, I'm going to bless you. You know what? You're going to have many, many kids. You're going to have, man, nations come from you. And so Abram is like, man, wow. Because, you know, the name Abram means exalted father. So he's looking and he's like, yeah, okay, God, yeah, yeah. And so all of a sudden, and this is where we're going to kind of pick up the story here, where now he's here, he's getting this call. And so if you got your Bibles, we're going to go to verse Genesis chapter 15, and I'll read from verse 1. And it says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And then he says this. He says, Abram believed the Lord, and he counted to him as righteousness. So let me bring you up to speed here. So Abram gets this promise from God that, man, you are going to have kids as numerous as the stars in the sky. And so Abram is thinking here. He says, you know, oh, man, that's great, God, but we got a problem here. I ain't got no kids. I'm like 85 years old, and my wife, she's past childbearing years herself, so we don't have any kids. So how is that going to happen? But, you know, in the midst of that, when he gets this promise, it says that Abraham believed the Lord. He believed him. He trusted in him, and it counted to him as righteousness. But then we go to verse 6, we go to chapter 16, and let's pick up at verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I could build a family through her. Abram agreed to what Sarai had said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. Now, and then after that, it says, when she knew she was pregnant, this is Hagar, she began to despise her mistress. Now, let me just talk about some things here, because there's obviously some elephants in the room in here, okay? I know some of you women are like, something's not right about this. So let me explain to you what's going on, okay? This was like a sister-wife situation before the sister-wives were ever. Like, this was some stuff going on. So let me explain. So Abram did not have any kids at all. And in that time, in that culture, having kids was a sign of honor. That was a sign of blessing. And so if you did not have kids, especially for women, you know, it felt like, man, that was kind of a disgrace. And so during that time, and just because, and just let me give you a key thing about Scripture. Just because something is in Scripture does not mean that God condones it. The one thing I love about the Bible, and I love about when you're going through these story series, is that, you know, the Bible doesn't hide from telling us the good, the bad, the ugly. And it does that because it shows us the condition of our heart, and it shows us the grace of God. And that's why not anybody could tell me that the Bible is not inspired by God, because let's be real. If we were writing a book about ourselves, we skip over the ugly stuff. We love highlights. Like, we don't want to do that. I mean, just think, that's why social media is so great right now, is that we tell the highlights, and we get so caught up in everybody's highlights that we can't relate to people, because we think that, man, that they don't ever go through anything. Well, all the while, it's like the duck swimming on top of the water. The duck is gliding, but underneath, you don't see the effort that it takes. Those feet are moving. And so during that time, so Abram is like, hey, we don't have kids. So Sarai is like, hey, I got an idea. So she has this concubine, because back then, they had servants, they had concubines, they had people that would serve. And so she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. Now, they picked up Hagar because there was a time in Abram's life, where they lived in Egypt for a little bit, and they left Egypt and was given lots of wealth and lots of servants when they left Egypt. So Hagar was part of that package. So she's like, hey, you know what? I don't have a child. And so customs during that time, and actually archaeologists have found marital contracts that said that it was not uncommon that, hey, that during that time, if you did not have kids, there were several ways that you could do it. One, that you can say, hey, that if I don't have a child, that as a husband, it was even in marriage contracts, that you could either, number one, you could divorce your wife and you go find someone else who was a little bit more fertile. Or what you can do is that you can get a surrogate, basically. And so you got this surrogate. And so that's what Hagar was. She was a concubine. She was a surrogate. She was going to be a surrogate. Now, there were also distinguishes, and so just to make this clear, that, you know, he could marry her, and she would become a wife and would have equal status, and so that would kind of create problems there, or it would just be a surrogate. Now, I know here it says that he married her and she became a wife. She really didn't become a wife, and there's some things in the story, we won't go into all of that, that says that we know that, but she was a concubine. So basically, what this was that she would be a surrogate and the child would belong to Abram and Sarai. And so that way they could continue on the lineage. And so Sarai says, hey, I can't have kids for you, but take Hagar. She could be our surrogate. And Abram, scripture says here, it says Abram had no disagreement. What did it say? It said Abram was like, hey, okay, all righty. And I know if that was modern day, I mean, you know, they'd be giving a side eye, you know, say what? You know, I'm just testing you. That wasn't for real, you know. So Abram does this. And it says that at 86 years old, Ishmael was born. And so what I want to point out and pull out from Abram's life is what happens when the promise doesn't match our present reality and progress isn't being made. You see, because many of us find ourselves like Abram, where God has given us something, he's promised us something, and so we get to a point in our lives where we're looking around and we're saying, God, this isn't happening. I mean, it could be a loved one that, you know, God said is going to give their life to the Lord. Or it might say that the Lord's going to, you know, there's a job that's coming, or whatever it could be, that God gives you a promise, or you read his word and you see something there, but your present reality doesn't match up with the promise and you don't see progress. What happens? How do we handle that? Well, sometimes we end up being like Abram, where we decide, instead of being patient with God, deciding to trust God, we decide to take methods into our own hands and try to make it happen ourselves. But how many know when you do that, that's a recipe for disaster? Because here's what happens. Abram looked around and said, okay, God, you told me this, and instead of waiting on you, you know what? I can't see how it's going to happen. So the customs around us, the culture around us says it's okay to do that. So I'm going to do what society says. I'm going to do what culture says to bring about this promise. And as we see right here in the scripture, right after Hagar realized that she was pregnant, what did it say? She despised her mistress. Right there, we got a problem. Because now Hagar is realizing, wait a minute, this is my baby. wait a minute, this is my child. You can't have a child. And so now you want to take my baby? No, 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 no. This is my son. This is my baby. And if you read on, it says that, man, there began to be some tension there because now Hagar ends up running away. God meets with her. She goes back. Hagar, Sarah begins to mistreat her. And so there's a lot of this tension going on. Why? Because Abraham tried to make something happen outside of God's timing and outside of God's way that had consequences. And I'm not talking about when the promise doesn't match our reality because we've walked away from God, because we were not doing right. Abraham was a faithful man. Abraham walked with God. I mean, we saw this. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the OG. But however, how many of us find ourselves in the same situation? God, I've been praying. God, I've been faithful. God, I'm generous. God, I do this, I do that. And all of a sudden, our reality is not matching up with the promise. And so we get impatient. But how do we wait on the Lord? How do we navigate those times in our life when the promise does not match our reality? How do we navigate those times? And I believe we could look at the life of Abram and we could pull some things of how to navigate that so we don't fall into what Abram had did and have consequences that now span for generations. And you say, what do you mean by that? Well, Ishmael is really where the lineage of where the Arabs come from. And so God told Abram, because Abram was like, I want you to bless my son. I mean, Lord, please bless him. And God said, I will bless him. But he's going to be a wild man. And he's always going to be in conflict with his brothers. And so today, what do we have that's going on in the Middle East? The fighting that we have that's going on, the lineage of Ishmael colliding with the lineage of the children of Israel. So you see, the consequences don't just span that moment. It's for generations, which is a point to point out, and it's not in here, that sometimes we've got to be very careful about taking things in our own hands, because while God is gracious, there's still that principle of sowing and reaping, and the consequences, while God is great and God is good and he's merciful, consequences could span far and outlive us. So how do we keep ourselves from falling into that trap? Well, the first thing is this: we got to have patience. We got to have patience. I want you to think about it. Abram was called at 75. At 85, he was told that, man, you're going to have many kids. But guess what? When you begin to read forward and you go to chapter 21, God did honor his promise and Sarai did have a child, but it wasn't until 100 that he got the promise. You see, because God's timing is not our timing. And we live in such a day and age and in such a culture where everything has to happen now. That if we don't get our service and a drive-through within a minute or two, oh, we're upset. If we don't get our Starbucks coffee in a fast amount of time, oh, we're upset. If we can't get it our way, we are upset. Oh, some of you don't remember those days. Some of you are too young to remember. But for those of us that remember, man, we should be the most patient people, because remember AOL dial-up. If you wanted to get on the internet, there was no just, hey, I'm just going to search this real quick and find out the answer. You had to carve out some time in your day. And when you push that button, I mean, it took like 30 minutes just to check your email. But we live in such a culture that it's, man, because we pride progress. So we got to go fast. We got to go faster. But we got to have patience. You see, from the time that Abram was called at 75, he tried to make it happen because 10 years go by and it's not happening. So he makes it happen. And so he gets the Ishmael. But then between the time from Ishmael to Isaac was another like 14 years. But yet God was faithful. God was faithful. So we got to have patience. But the other thing we got to understand is we got to change your perspective. We got to change. I love what Pastor John said earlier. Sometimes we're looking for a problem to solve when we really need to shift our perspective. That when it comes to God, we have to understand, you know, God knows all. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so, you know, when he makes us a promise, we think we know how it's going to look. But what God is inviting us to is say, no, I don't want you to look at it through your eyes. I want you to look at it through mine. You know, when you go to verse 17, God comes back to him. And this is what I love about God. And you may feel like, man, I've missed it. I've messed up. There's no hope for me. Well, guess what? Abram could have thought there was no hope for him, but God comes back to him. Because God is a loving God like that. So he comes back to him at 99. So he waits a couple of years to let Abram kind of sit in his mess. And so he says, hey, Abram. He says, I am God Almighty. He's like, I want you to walk before me faithfully and blameless. So he's telling him, hey, I'm the Lord Almighty. But he says, you know what? I'm going to do something now, Abram, because if you go down, Abram says, falls face down and everything. He begins to worship. And God says, you know what? I know what you're thinking. Your name is Abram. It means exalted father. Your perspective is, hey, you're going to be a father, so you wanted to try to have a son and all these things. But here's the thing. I'm not calling you just to be the father of a son. I'm calling you to bless the nations. And so I need to change your perspective. And by changing your perspective, I need to change you. So therefore, I'm not going to give you, your name is not Abram anymore. Your name is Abraham, which means the father of many nations. I need to change your perspective and I need to bring you up so that you're not thinking limited. And a lot of times what happens is when God speaks something to us, we think we know what God is speaking and our vision is so small that God has to change our perspective. And in the changing of perspective, sometimes it means that he's got to change us. And with the case of Abram, he changed him to the fact where he said, I got to give you a new name. Because I can't have you thinking that old way. And not only did he change his name, but he also changed Sarai's name, his wife, and said her name is going to be Sarah. And so we've got to change our perspective. We got to be patient. But in that being patient, we have to change our perspective. What is it that you're waiting on God for, that you're continuing it to look through it through your own individual me-centered eyes, that God is calling you to change your perspective and look at it to how he sees it? But then the last thing is this. You got to place your trust in Jesus, even if the path isn't clear. I want you to hear this. Abram, this is something that we can see all through his life, except through this one hiccup, that Abram trusted God even when the path wasn't clear. Abram was told at 75, I need you to leave your land and just start walking. I'm going to take you to this place. So what does Abram do? He starts to follow God. But if you fast forward, even then, God gives him in chapter 21, Isaac is born. God gives him the son from Sarah that the Lord promised him. But even after that, the Lord says, hey, you see your son Isaac? I gave him to you, right? I kept my word, right? But now I need you to go sacrifice him. I need you to go sacrifice him. But here's the thing. I just need you to start walking, and I'll tell you when you see it, you'll know it. And what does Abram do? Immediately, Abraham says, okay, and does it. Now, we know that God really didn't want him to sacrifice Isaac because he provided a sacrifice for him. But what God was doing was he wanted to make sure that Abraham, last time you didn't trust me. And you tried to do things. I made a promise to you, and you didn't trust me. You tried to make it happen on your own timing. Now I've given you the promise, and now I'm going to see, did you learn your lesson, and are you going to trust me? So now give me back what I gave you. And Abraham learned his lesson, and he said, okay, God, I know last time I tried to make stuff happen, and it didn't make out for a happy home. It's hard to please one woman. I got several of them mad at me. But yet he does. And what does God tell him? The moment he's getting ready to sacrifice, he says, stop. Now I know that I truly have your heart. What was the Lord saying? Now I know you truly trust me, even if the path isn't clear. And we've all been there before. You know, my wife and I, a couple years ago, we went on this journey. We were serving at a place, grew up at a church, served there many years, but felt a call in like 2014 that we didn't really share with anybody at the time except for the leader, that we feel like maybe we're called to pastor, to lead pastor. And so we felt like the Lord spoke to us and said, man, you know what, that you're going to pastor. There's a promise that we had. But a lot of times we get a promise and we think we know how it's going to happen. And so there an opportunity came where, man, the very church that I grew up in, that, Lord, man, maybe this is it. We're going to pastor, you know, the church. And that was a dream and just the heart of my man to just love on the church that loved me and developed me. And yet, for some, you may know our story. It was a couple of years of hardship. And we had to be patient. And there was times we were like, Lord, what is going on? Did we miss you? But we had to have patience. But even in the midst of that, we had to learn to change our perspective. Because we thought it was going to happen one way. We wanted it to happen one way. But what God kept trying to remind us is that I have something for you. It may not be what you think, but God knows best. And it came time where when we end up transitioning, it was so hard and we felt like giving up and felt like, okay, we got to try to make something happen in our own strength because, man, you know, this is what God had promised us. But here's the thing. And this is what I love about God, because remember what I told you, that God meets us? You know, he meets us where we're at. I love where, even during worship, where even when we're upset and we're angry, we come to God with who we are and where we're at. And that's what God did even with Abram. He never left him alone. After he had Ishmael, God could have said, I'm done with you. But he comes back to him where he is and where he's at and says, okay, let's try this again. And reminded him who he is. Because God said, look, I am God Almighty. Why did he approach him first and say, I am God Almighty? Because he was reminding Abram that, hey, Abram, I am God Almighty and I can make anything happen. I am the God who created the heavens and the earth. Don't you know that I could just speak to Sarah's womb and say, have a baby, and she could have a baby? But what is your responsibility? I need for you to walk faithfully. I need for you to place your trust in me, even if the path isn't clear. And so what happened? We transition. Let me tell you how great God is. We end up, just by the blessing of God, you know, we had a family that really sent us on a cruise, which was much needed because we were just feeling so dejected. And we get to the Bahamas. And we're in the Bahamas. And so my wife, if any of you know my wife, she loves shopping. She's not met a store that she couldn't tackle. And she loves thrifting. So when I say that, she's not an expensive shopper, but she loves thrifting. She loves the bargain. But I still tell her, just because it was 50% off, you still spent money. You know? She still spent money, but she's like, it was on sale. Yes, but you still spent money. But so we go there, and she wants to shop. But she doesn't want to go to the touristy areas. She wants to go, like, in the city. So we end up finding a cab driver and stuff, and she found someone that spoke Spanish, and my wife is Hispanic, so she was talking in Spanish. So we end up getting to this market that they says, hey, we're going to take you to one of, like, the market where a lot of tourists don't go. So we get to the market, and so my wife is, she's in heaven now. So I have my two boys with me at the time, and she says, well, hey, I'm going to go over there. You want to come? I said, no, I'm just going to stay right here. You go do your thing and whatever. I'll have the boys. So as she's going off, I'm just kind of walking, and I notice there's this stand there, and there's a lady. And in my mind, I'm looking at this lady, this bohemian lady. She catches my attention because I think she's off her rocker because she's laughing. She's like, ha, 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 ha. I mean, she's just going on and doing her thing. And for whatever reason, it was a curiosity. It was intriguing. And I listened to Pastor John's message last week about Moses. And at that point, I know we said we're in the Bahamas, but we're really in a wilderness. Spiritually, we're in a wilderness. But that lady was a burning bush. In curiosity, I walked over to her, and I just stood there. And there was people all around her, but all of a sudden, it was like everybody begins to walk off, and it's just my boys and I standing looking at this lady. And the moment that that happened, she goes from laughing into her right mind, and she looks at me, and she asks me a question. She says, what happened with Daniel in the lion's den? And I'm like, huh? I said, the Lord shut the mouths of the lion. And then she began to speak over my life, had told me everything that had happened. She told us everything that had happened. I'm getting goosebumps now. And because of that, she said at the end, she says, and you doubt your call to be a pastor, but she says, you are a pastor. And at that moment, just a river broke from my eyes. And it was like, man, and all of a sudden she just stopped because people started to come back and she goes back to ha, 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 and her thing. And at this point, I'm bawling my eyes out and Becca comes back and sees me. She's like, what happened? Did we get robbed? Do we not have any more money? What happened? She's like, you are crying. And I'm just sitting there just crying. And I tell her what happened. But you know, in that moment, God was telling us, just have patience. I need you to change your perspective. What you think is happening to you, you think it's detouring you or moving you away. No, what happened to you is me taking you right to where I want you to be, where I'm calling you to be. So I need for you to trust me, even though the path is not clear. And soon after that, God opened doors and we were able to plant Emmaus Church. But I share that to say this, that some of you right now, you might be in the middle of situations where you feel like God has promised you something, but your reality is not matching with the promise, and you're so tempted, and the voices in your head are tempting you to say, hey, let me help God out. Let me help you out this morning and say that he is the Lord God Almighty, and what he's calling you to do is just to be faithful and walk blameless before him. And to trust him. To trust him. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet this morning. And I don't know who this is for, but you may be in this room this morning. And you might be in that situation where you felt like the Lord has spoken to you some things. It might be a loved one, a relationship being mended or reconciled. It might be a diagnosis that you're walking through a season of sickness and you feel like the Lord said you're going to be healed. It might be you're on your job and the Lord has promised you a promotion or a different job. Or it might be financially, the Lord said he's going to provide for you. And you're looking at that situation and you're like, God, you've promised, but my reality is not making sense. It's not matching up with the promise. And what I want to tell you this morning is this. Don't get anxious and get ahead of God. Have patience. But change your perspective. It's during this time where, guess what? When we go through situations like that, God isn't concerned about the situation. You know what God's more concerned about? Is changing us. You see, the situation, the question's always asked in Scripture, is anything too hard for God? What's the answer? No. So, the situation, that's nothing. What God's more concerned about is changing you to make you more like Him, to form you. And so, this morning, the Lord is inviting you into a better story. He's inviting you to not repeat the mistake of Abraham. Yes, Abraham is a great man. He is the OG, but yet Abraham did make some mistakes. He tried to get ahead of God. And we have this story in Scripture, not to put a black eye on Abraham, but it's an invitation for us to not repeat the mistake of Abraham. That's why when Jesus says in the book of Hebrews that God has something better planned for us, that together with us, we could accomplish. Why? Because we have the examples to see. And so this morning I want to invite you into a better story, to invite you to trust Him, to invite you to change your perspective. Allow Him to change you. Abraham had to allow God to change his name. But I didn't even go into that. Not only did Abram had to change his name, he also, that was where God gave the covenant of circumcision. And so he had to change himself physically as well. And so this morning, God is inviting you to trust Him, even when the path doesn't look clear. And so if that's you this morning, I just want to pray for you. If you could say, you know what, that's me, that right now I'm facing a situation where the path doesn't seem clear. I know what God said, but it doesn't seem clear, and I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how I'm going to get there, but this morning I choose to trust. Some of you have walked into this place, and even as the word was given earlier, you've came in here anxious. It's like a hurricane going on, and what God is inviting you to, He's inviting you to join Him in the eye of the storm where there is peace, where there's calm. If that's you, I want to pray for you this morning. As I close in prayer before I turn back over to Pastor John, if that's you, if say, you know what, Telvin, I want you to pray for me this morning because I need a little bit of that patience. I need to accept the invitation to trust Him. If that's you, just if you can lift your hands on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, I see hands all over. And the reason why I ask you to lift your hands is because to know that you're not alone. That there's more people. The enemy likes to say that you're alone. And he wants to isolate you. He wants to keep you out of the community that God wants you to be in community with. And so now that you see hands that are lifted, you know that you're not alone. So what does that mean? You could encourage one another. Because there's times where, guess what, that you might be stronger than somebody else. And so you got to come and say, hey, you know what, it's going to happen. Let's go. But then there's going to be times where, you know what, they may fall. And you say, you know what, nope, I got you. You remember you had me? Come on, it's my turn. We're going to make it through this together. And so let me pray for you this morning. Jesus, I thank you for the invitation that you've given us. First, I thank you for, Lord, the story that the openness and the honesty that these writers, when they wrote about their lives and the lives of others, they told us the good, the bad, and the ugly to be a model and an example for things that we should repeat and for things that we shouldn't do. But even more than that, the model of the example to follow you, even when the path is not clear. So I pray for those of us in this room this morning, even as I know how it feels, because just a number of years ago, I was in that same position. And so, Lord, I pray that you would give them the strength, that you would give them the courage to follow the path, even when people are saying they should do something different, even when culture says they should do something different, even when their own voices say they should do something different. But I pray that, Lord, that you would clear away every voice except for your loving voice that is inviting them to come to a better way, that's inviting them to a better story, a story that only you can fulfill for your glory. So, Lord, I pray that as they're walking through, I pray that you would help them to see not through their own eyes, but to see through the eyes of heaven. And may that encourage them, Father, to keep pressing on, knowing, God, that the promise is on its way. So I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to this week's message. And if today's message helped or inspired you, feel free to share it with someone. If after today's message you have questions, need help, or just want somebody to talk to or process with, just shoot Lifehouse a text to 757-690-2401. For more information about Lifehouse, you can visit us at lifehouseonline.church. That's lifehouseonline.church.